We're going to start with Matthew 8, 14 through 17. Jesus heals many. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. Our second verses are from Matthew 10, 1. Jesus sends out the 12. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. And our last one is James 5, 14 through 16. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is effective and powerful. This is the reading of the word. Please be seated.
The gift of healing. You know, it's one of the nine freeing gifts of the Spirit. I preached a sermon few Sundays back about the freeing gifts of the Spirit that we find in 1 Corinthians 12. And I wanted to give this one a special note because it's the one Jesus used the most. 90% of Jesus' ministry was using the gift of healing. So it must be a pretty important one. I like the way that Jesus, you know, he goes over to Peter's mother-in-law's house, okay? And if Peter has a mother-in-law, then he has a wife, okay? We don't hear anything about Peter's wife, do we? I don't know if she was still living at that point or not. That's possible. She wasn't. But his wife's mother was. And so Jesus walks in, and she's flat on her back with a fever. Now, she might have known that Jesus and the guys were coming over, but she's out. And you ever had that happen to you? You got people coming over, and you don't feel good. And, of course, Jesus walks in, and he sees what's going on. Just typical Jesus sees her in bed with a fever, and what does he do? Go excuse himself to the back patio? No. Jesus goes right up to her and does what? He touches her. You know, there's something about touch and healing. I don't know what it is, but it communicates power. And Jesus reaches out and touches her. The fever's gone. She had a fever. Just left like that. And she gets up and starts taking care of the guys. No, I don't think that's the reason Jesus prayed for her. But that was probably her way of saying thank you to Jesus. And that night, of course, by this time, you know, people knew that power went out from Jesus. And so great crowds of people would follow him wherever he went. Can you imagine if we had somebody like that, that you could go touch and get healed? Can you imagine? There'd be millions trying to track this guy down, wouldn't there? And so they bring, that night, they come over to Peter's house. It's a good thing she was feeling better because the whole community was there. And they brought all the demon-possessed. And Jesus would just speak a word, and they'd leave. The demons would go. He'd just speak a word. I don't know what word it was. Probably something like, get out of here, something like that. That's two words, isn't it? No, it's three words. Okay. Get out of here. Four words. Okay. Go. And they would leave. And then all the sick, he healed them all. So he was probably there for a while. And then Matthew ends that story. I think Matthew's the only one that tells that story. He ends that story. Matthew was probably there. I mean, he was there. By quoting Isaiah 53. Now, this is the great passage. Isaiah wrote this 500 years before Jesus and the disciples, 600 years. And he writes in Isaiah 53, we read this. Let's read it together. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his wounds we are healed. You know, this is Isaiah prophesying what the suffering servant Jesus was going to do. He was going to die on that cross for our sins, but also for our healing. Physically, psychologically. Because when God does something, he just doesn't do it part way. He does it the whole way. And Jesus, by healing the sick, was revealing to the people that it wasn't just about forgiveness of sins. It was about healing them physically, psychologically. We talked about inner healing last week. Then he gathered the 12 together, and he gave them the same authority and power right off the bat, right the day he called them. He said, now you guys can do this too. Gave them that authority, gave them that power. And right after the resurrection in Mark 16, Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe. And one of them was, they will lay their hands on the sick and be healed. That's one of the signs of being a believer. We have been given that same authority and power. If you have Jesus in your heart, if you've asked him in to forgive your sins and live inside of you, you have the authority and power to pray for the sick and to cast out demons too, by the way. But we're just focusing on praying for the sick today. Now, Jesus had a half-brother. His name was James, and he wasn't a believer until after the resurrection. James wound up becoming the head of the whole Jerusalem church. Can you imagine having Jesus' brother as your pastor? Wouldn't that be cool? And I'll bet the stories he could tell about Jesus, huh? And he said, and this is quite a few years after Jesus had ascended into heaven, probably decades later, James says to the church, if you're sick, call the elders, confess your sins, anoint with oil. Oil was the symbol of the Holy Spirit. Oil has always been the symbol of the Holy Spirit. Put the sign of the cross. The church has been doing that for over 2,000 years. And the prayer of faith will save you and heal you. So we see the leaders of the early church telling the followers of Jesus to continue this important ministry. Now, where does sickness come from? I want to let you know this. It's a mystery. A lot of this is a mystery. I'm still a learner. I learn something new all the time about healing. And I'll probably the rest of my life, I'll be learning about healing. And some of this is a mystery. The sources of illness are a mystery. But I think there's four that I can see. First of all, just our fallen nature. Folks, we are fallen beings. We're imperfect, sinful creatures, and we will be till the day we die, unless Jesus comes back, okay, before that time, and gives us those new resurrected bodies and those new spirits, totally regenerates us. Until that time, we are sinners. And also, this creation out here, as beautiful as it is also fallen. The fall affected the creation. It affected us. And so we live in these imperfect, sinful bodies in an imperfect and sinful creation. And aging, death are a part of that. Now, God did not design it that way. That came as a result of the fall. And someday God is going to redo even nature. even the whole planet. And we get to be there with him. How cool is that, huh? In our resurrected bodies. But until that time, we have to live with this imperfection that ages us and makes us sick. Eventually we die from some kind of sickness, some kind of illness. Now, the second source of illness, I think, is our own abuse of this temple. You know, we are, when you invite Jesus into your heart, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit lives in you. And so you've got to take care of this thing. Don't abuse it. Make sure it gets enough rest. Don't put stress on it. Exercise it. Feed it right. Take care of this temple. Because it's not yours. It belongs to Jesus and belongs to the Holy Spirit. But when we don't do those things, we put too much stress on it, we don't feed it right, we don't exercise it, we don't take care of it, it will make us sick. That's the second one. Third one is Satan. Satan can bring sickness. We saw that a couple of sermons back when, remember I preached about the woman that was all bent over in the synagogue? You know, a demon, a spirit from Satan had done that to her. For 18 years she lived with it until Jesus walked in there one day and set her free. So sometimes Satan can bring illness too. And finally, the fourth one is God. God can bring sickness. It's rare. It's rare, but he does it. And he does it for redemptive reasons. You know, God made Lazarus sick and he died. Okay? And he died because Jesus was going to come over and raise him from the dead. Okay? So sometimes God brings sickness. It's rare, for redemptive purposes. How do you begin praying for the sick? Well, first of all, you need more courage than anything else. Okay? I remember the first person that I prayed for healing, guess what they did? They died. Okay? That was the very first person I ever prayed for. Okay? So anointed them with oil, did the whole thing, prayer of faith, laid hands, and they died. Of course, they were in a coma from a motorcycle accident. So, and the devil tried to say to me, see, Doug, you can't do this stuff. Okay? So you need more courage than anything else. And be persistent. Start small. Let God bring them to you. Do it, first of all, in your own homes, your own families, your own neighborhoods, your friends, the people you work with. Look for opportunities. Night before last, my son David was over to the house, and he was getting the flu bug. And so, you know, too often we go, oh, here's some medicine, take this, go see the doctor. But the one thing we don't do is pray. So I said, David, let's pray for you. So we gathered around him. We laid hands on David, our whole family, May and Gail and I. And after we were done, he felt better. He felt better. You know, we need to do that. Do that with our own families. Parents, have the kids come and lay hands on you and pray for you. And when you do that, expect God to do something. I think that's probably the biggest thing. Is expect, when you pray, remember, it's God's Spirit inside of you. It's not you. And expect God to do something. That's something that Mike Evans has taught me. And I've been trying to do more and more of that. And I'm seeing more healing because I'm expecting God to do things. Little things. The other, not too long ago, I was in a restaurant and there was a waitress who came up to me and she was limping. And I said, what happened? She said, well, I twisted my ankle. I said, well, do you think I could pray for you? She said, sure. So I didn't touch her. I just, right there, she's standing there. I'm sitting in my seat. And I said, Lord, would you please touch and heal her foot in Jesus' name? She had immediate relief. It's as simple as that. It's not me. It's the Spirit of God within me. A guy was selling me a car recently. And he had his back was bothering him. This is a true story. His back was bothering him. So I said, hey, do you mind if I pray for you? And he was, I could tell he wasn't a Christian. You know what I mean? And I prayed, and immediately he had relief. He said, I can't believe that. I can't believe that my back feels better right now. And I said, that's Jesus. And you know, that's a terrific witness to somebody. I gave him a four spiritual laws after we did the deal and told him, you know, to follow up with the Lord, because the Lord did that for a reason for him. So that's how you do it. And sometimes when you get further along in this and you get a little more involved in it, like we do with our healing teams, and we're going to have them up here today at the end of the service. For anybody that wants to be prayed for, after the service is over, come on up here and let them pray for you. We're going to have a couple of teams at each service. And we have some gifted, anointed people here, so take advantage of it this morning. You know, you'll ask them, can I lay my hand on you if you get a chance? They say, okay, sure. Lay your hand on them. Then always keep one ear to them and one ear to God. Ask them, well, how do you want me to pray this morning? And we try to do this on Communion Sunday when you guys come up for prayer. One ear to you, one ear to God. You tell us, well, I've got a bad blah, 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 okay? All right, well, let's pray. Lord, show us how to pray. And then listen to the Lord. He may give you something else. He may give you a picture. He may give you a sense. He may give you a word. And if he does, then just pray about it out loud. If he doesn't, then pray for what they asked for. Keep your eyes open when you do it. Watch them. And then after you're done praying it, you know, sense the Lord, sense him there. When you're done, thank him, expect him to do something. You can do all this in less than a minute. Expect him to do something and then thank him when you're done. Now, how hard is that? It's not very hard. Some of you will find that you have a ministry in this. There are people in this room who have a better percentage of praying for healing than I do. My main gift is preaching the Word of God. And once in a while, I get to pray for the sick and I see results. But there are others that see results a lot more than I do. And I'm looking for them to be on our prayer team. And the only way that you'll know that you're one of them is if you step out in faith and try it. Start with your families. Start at home. You can do this with your neighbors, your friends. Your neighbor says, I got a headache. Don't just walk away. Say, or your work colleague. Say, is it okay if I pray for you? Because I believe Jesus heals the sick. And just say a quick little prayer. You don't have to put your hand on him or anything. And you'll be amazed at what God will do. Now, not everybody gets healed. Again, this is a mystery. But I think there's 9 things. Some of you remember Oral Roberts. You remember Oral Roberts? You remember he had Oral Roberts University? And a lot of people don't know that Oral Roberts was a Methodist minister. How about that? Okay? And he was one of our colleagues. And Oral got healed of tuberculosis when he was young. And that's how he got started into this ministry. God healed him. And that's how it happens to a lot of people. How many of you remember Catherine Coleman? She used to have a ministry of healing too. And both Oral and Catherine had international ministries in healing. And both of them, it's very interesting that both of them had the same statistic for how many people got healed in their crusades. 17%. Isn't that amazing that both Oral and Catherine had the same percentage? 17%. That's not even 1 out of 5 that got healed. And one time they asked Oral, they said, well, Oral, what do you think about that? Only 17% of the people get healed. And Oral said, I thank God for those 17%. I thank God for them. Now, my percentage is much lower than that. It's kind of like my duck hunting. It's much lower, okay? But it's improving because I'm expecting more from God. Here's 9 reasons why I think that first one up there. Of course, lack of faith. Well, that's the one you hear about all the time. But You know, somebody has got to have faith. Either you do or the person you're praying for. There has to be some faith there somewhere. One time, Jesus went to Nazareth, his hometown, and it says in there that he could do very little because there was no faith. The people of Nazareth did not believe in Jesus. And so even Jesus had trouble praying for the sick in that environment. When there's an environment of no faith, it's difficult. Okay, number two, bitterness, hatred, or lack of forgiveness in your heart. Folks, if you have bitterness, hatred, unforgiveness in your heart, it's hard for God to do anything in your life. That's just putting a big block to everything. You've got to get rid of that bitterness, hatred, unforgiveness. Go to the Lord, ask His forgiveness. And then release and forgive those that have hurt you. I preached on forgiveness a few Sundays back. Go listen to that sermon on forgiveness. Number three, false humility. You know, some people like to be sick because they get a lot of attention. So you got to want to get rid of it. If you don't want to get rid of it, God's not going to heal it. You got to want to get rid of your illness and be healed. Number four, refusal to use medical science. We've got Dr. Marty here today, and he's our beloved doctor. Marty, can you wave your hand so people know who you are? Marty is our beloved doctor, and I thank God for Marty because he represents medical science to us. And, you know, Paul used to travel with another beloved doctor. You remember his name? Luke, who wrote, by the way, the biggest piece in the New Testament. A doc wrote that. Luke and Acts. And they called him the beloved physician. Colossians 4:14. Medical science is a gift from God. It's a gift from God, and we need to take advantage of it. You know, people who refuse to go see medical science, go see their doctor and follow what they say, it's foolish. Because that's just as much a gift from God as anything else that we're talking about here. Number five, poor health habits. You know, if you've got poor health habits, don't expect God to heal you because you're just going to get sick again. You got to eat right, you got to exercise, you got to take care of yourself. And if you're living in a social environment that is just oppressive, it's very hard for God to heal you in that kind of an environment. Number six, it's not the right time and you're not the right one, you know. I can't lead everybody to the Lord. I'm not supposed to lead everybody to the Lord. But there are some people I'm supposed to lead to the Lord, just like there's some people you're supposed to lead to the Lord. I can't pray for everybody to be healed. I'm not supposed to pray for everybody to get healed. There's people that you can pray for to be healed that I will never get close to. Probably the leader in this field is Francis McNutt. You know, even though, Bob, is it possible to throw that up there? I'm going to throw you off track. But this is, Francis McNutt is probably the leader in healing in the planet. And he wrote his book. This is his seminal work that he wrote decades ago on healing. I recommend it to you. Francis and Judith, you can go back to the other slide, Bob. Francis and Judith, his wife, have Christian Healing Ministries in Jacksonville, Florida. I go back there as often as I can and go through their 5 weeks of training. I'm on week three in March. I go back again for week three, and I'm learning about all this stuff. And they have a daughter named Rebecca, who they prayed for years, who had a physical condition. These are the leaders of healing on the planet. They see miracles all the time. And they pray for Rebecca morning and evening for years, and she was not healed. They went to a conference on healing, of course, and they were speakers, but there were some friends of theirs there. They said, "Do you mind if we prayed for Rebecca?" And they said, "No, we don't mind if you pray for Rebecca." And they prayed for Rebecca, and she was healed. Now, folks, how do you explain that? Now's not the time, and you're not the one. So unless you know that, you know, you just do it. But sometimes that's what it is. It's just not the right time. and you're not the one. You have to wait for that. I have a daughter that hasn't been healed of blindness, and I'm waiting for the time to be right and the right person to come. Number 7, faulty diagnosis. Maybe you're praying for a physical thing, and really the problem is inner healing. And we got to go do the inner healing to be able to see the physical results. And that's why you want to keep one ear to God and one ear to the person. And that's why we need the other gifts of the Spirit. We need the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, discerning of spirits when we pray for the sick. God brings all of those gifts in to help us to find out what exactly is the right diagnosis. And number 8, redemptive purposes. Sometimes it's redemptive. You know, God allowed Paul to have his thorn in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 12, and didn't take it away when he asked for it. This is a guy who prayed for the healing and saw miracles all the time, but yet in his own life, he had something that God didn't heal, and it was for a redemptive reason. Now, this is rare, very rare, but it does happen. Number 9, last one, need to soak in prayer. You know, sometimes there's a delay. One time I prayed for a woman who had an ear problem. I think I've shared this story before. She was an elderly woman who had an ear that had been closed for years. And I prayed for her, and nothing changed. She went home that afternoon, walked in the house, and her ear popped open. Now, why didn't God pop it open when I prayed for her? I don't know. It's a mystery. But sometimes there's a delay, and sometimes you have to pray more than once for something. Jesus in, I think it was Mark 8, one time Jesus prayed twice for a blind person. So if Jesus has to pray more than once, then there's nothing wrong with the rest of us praying more than once. And folks, I want to encourage you, if you have something that hasn't been healed and you've gone up and had prayer, you know, you should do this every communion Sunday, every chance you get. When Mike comes back, make sure you mark your calendars for the end of April. You come up and be prayed for again and again and again and again. Never give up unless God tells you to stop. Never give up. Sometimes it has to be soaked. We have to be soaked in prayer. In fact, back at Christian Healing Ministries, they have a soaking room. You go sit in the soaking prayer room. I love it in there. It's just full of God. I love to just sit in there and be soaked. So there you have it. Healing, Jesus did it 90% of the time. It's part of our salvation. It's part of what Jesus did on that cross. He won that for you. We have Him inside of us. We have the authority and the power to pray for the sick. Some of you have a ministry that you don't even know about. Step out and try it. And if you find that people get healed, please come and be a part of our healing teams. Okay? And we're going to have 2 teams here at each service today after the service. So, and read about it and learn about it. Come and hear Mike teach again. He's an international leader, probably next to Francis. He's the next one. And we're going to have him right here in our church. Take advantage of it. Amy, did I see Amy Convalin here in this service? I thought I did. Okay. Amy is going to, week from tonight, I think 3:30 or 3, at her house. It's in the newsletter. We're going to start running those Mike Evans DVDs from the last time at Amy's house for 2 hours for 3 Sunday nights starting next week. So go to those. Learn more. Read that book. Learn about this gift. So important. Band, would you come and lead us in our last song, Healer.